You are tuned in to We Are Queer on WERU Community Radio Station 89.9 FM in Blue Hill, Maine. We Are Queer highlights the touching experiences from Maine's diverse LGBTQ plus community. From coming out stories to exploring new chapters, WERQ is a voice to the queer people of Maine, building empathy and understanding in our greater community. I'm your host, Olivia Peruk, and I use she, her pronouns. This week, I am interviewing Ben Chandler, who is a drag performer in Maine. In this episode, we discuss coming out to loved ones, facing your own prejudices, and how drag makes everything feel right in the world.
Hi, I'm Ben Chandler, and I use he, they pronouns. So I identify as non-binary, and I'm more masculine, obviously, and that's just how it suits me. I don't know if I have an exact term for it, but that's how I identify.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's wonderful, I think, about this community is it truly is a spectrum. So, you know, you can, although labels can be fun sometimes, but they can also just be like, it's part of the spectrum, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm like this, that isn't quote unquote the normal of whatever is normal. So thank you for being open and sharing. But I'm so excited to get into your story today and hear about a little bit of your experience with being queer, or if you would identify as queer. Maybe we should start there.
I do identify as queer. I haven't always. I grew up in quite a religion, and since moving away from that and kind of finding who I wanted to be and who I was, I would say yes. I do identify as queer. So I grew up in Cherryfield, Maine. The population is not very big. We just got a set of automatic doors for the first time, and it was the Dollar General. So big things are happening in Cherryfield. We were very much involved in a church there, and definitely interesting being queer and realizing you're queer in a very small town. Not everything and not everybody's reactions to it were what I thought they were going to be. I personally am very fortunate to have supporting parents, even though we were raised in a religion. Very supportive family, friends. A lot of people knew I was gay before I was actually gay, like before I was out. Everyone I told, they weren't surprised. And I personally thought I did a very good job hiding it, but I guess the one who is gay is sometimes the last to know.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a great framing of kind of small town in Maine. And I like you kind of mentioned how sometimes the person who's like gay is almost like the last to know.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there was something about you being younger that, like, obviously people felt like you were different in a way. And I wonder if that was just like any particular aspect or just like your personality. What was it that maybe people were like, oh, this kid is gay?
I've always been a little bit flamboyant. And I was, even before I was involved in theater as an adult, I would dress up a lot at home. I would pretend to be this character or that character. And they usually, when I look back, they were characters that were not necessarily part of a binary. They were either angels or they were ghosts or certain things that weren't male or female.
Did you dress up just around like Halloween, or was this like all year situation?
So because of the religion we were a part of, we did not celebrate Halloween. I did not celebrate Halloween until 2020.
Wow.
And I actually dressed up as Winifred Sanderson from Hocus Pocus. That was so much fun. And just by then I was fully out. So it was nice to be able to represent who I am in front of others.
Obviously, for any person who is queer and in a community, it can be really scary. And I wonder if you felt like unsafe to share who you were in that space.
There are definitely some situations in Down East Maine and the area, and honestly, sometimes wherever you are, where you say, I'm going to take stock of what's going on, and maybe I won't wear this, or maybe I won't do that. Maybe I won't, you know, sing a little higher on the octave. I'll deepen my voice a little bit. And I always find that when I decide to code switch, I go into a thick Down East Maine accent. I didn't realize that until like a couple of years ago, once like I've done all my unpacking in my mind and stuff, and why do I do what I do? And I found out that when I don't feel comfortable, mm-hmm. I will mirror the accent of someone else, and it's usually a Down East Maine accent. So that is always interesting.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if maybe for any listeners or people who are unfamiliar with the term code switching, would you care to elaborate a little bit what code switching means to you?
Code switching for me means if I'm in an unsafe environment, or if I feel like someone would have prejudice against me for being the way that I am, I will take on another character that would be more relatable to that person. So it's not necessarily, for me, it's not hiding my identity. It's being safe in the environment in which I am. Yeah. And not all times when that happens, do I not feel safe? Sometimes it's just keeping up with the persona of what I had, because in a small town, everyone knows everybody. They know you, they know your parents, they know your siblings, your family, they know everything about you. And it is very interesting to become someone that they don't know or don't recognize and still continue to see those people.
I wonder if you feel comfortable. When did you feel like you came out to your community?
So this was 2022. This was actually 2 years ago. I had talked to a couple people before then, but things had happened and I had left certain churches and I wasn't going to a church, and I felt that it was time. I didn't have any commitments that way. And I kind of said, this June is going to be the June. So what I did, and this worked for me, it doesn't work for everyone, is each day of June, I picked one person and I came out to them. So, you know, on the first day, it might have been my sister. And on the second day, it might have been a friend, or, and then down the line. And increasingly getting harder and harder as it went. Halfway through was my best friend. And he took it well. And then at the end, it was my parents. And you can think exactly what's going to happen. And I didn't know, because we were raised a certain way. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure I have things in place. So if things don't work out the way I think they will, I have something to fall back on. And I came out and they supported me. They may not be the most understanding of the situation that I'm in and how I feel the way that I feel, but they love me, and that's all I can ask for. And I know not everybody has that happen. So I know that I'm incredibly fortunate to have it play out the way it did.
And I'm wondering, just like thinking about the future and, you know, sort of the tumultuous times that we may or may not be entering into, I'm wondering, like, what would be your vision for like a really queer accepting, you know, Maine state? Like, what would that look like for you?
I think it will look very different from the way I want it to look. Maine is very much it's not a it's not a not accepting state, but it's very much the areas of it, right? So once you get to Portland, Maine, it's fine. You can go to drag shows almost every night down East Maine because everyone is congregated into little towns and there's not much big city life, right? I would love to live in the big city someday of my life, live in the big city.
Of Portland, Maine?
Maybe a bigger city.
Gotcha.
But I would love to see even the accessibility for queer spaces. So I'm a drag performer and reaching out to bars and restaurants and certain spaces can always be kind of it's a toss up because you don't know exactly if this space is going to be interested, whether they're going to be very much in the opposite direction. And that's kind of how it is with almost the whole queer community is you have an interaction with someone and you're unsure. And I guess to round down to the question, I guess my vision is just people let people live and you don't have to accept it. You don't have to understand it. Just live and let live.
Yeah. Oh man, it's always bringing tears to my eyes because I just, yeah, absolutely, the live and let live. And I think that's a pretty, if we think about in this country and especially in the state of Maine, I think the state of Maine is a...
You have to make a decision whether you want to be free or whether you will let your bondage kill you. It doesn't have to kill you physically, but it can kill your spirit. It can kill your ambition. It can eat away at you because you are being someone who you are not.
Yeah. I think that I hope, you know, that people, when they listen, they realize that, like, it's not about, like, trying to push an agenda on other people, but it's just truly just wanting to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
and have people just accept it.
And the beauty of the queer community is it is so diverse, right? There are so many different people. There are so many different people who are queer that they decide, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to lay low. And then there's queer people who say, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to fight, I'm going to do this. And there's such a broad spectrum, right? And finding your place in that it's such a journey.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, I love that you mentioned that, you know, the queer community, it is also a spectrum of people and, you know, that not everyone is going to want to be loud and out and just like any sort of.
I attended my first Pride ever, Ellsworth Pride, which was last year. That was my first ever Pride event. And I went there and then I went to Bangor Pride the following weekend. It is so relieving to walk down the street the way you want to look and the way you want to present and seeing other people the same way. Growing up the way I did, we were always told that people that look the way the queer community people are is not right, right? So when you're walking down the street and you're having this feeling and you look and you see someone that maybe does not look the way you specifically want them to look, or you feel yourself and you check your spirit, right? Because walking down the street during Bangor Pride, I found myself, well, I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't do this. And what is that person doing with their hair? And, you know, just the little nitty gritty judgy stuff, right? And then you step back for a minute and you say, well, I put on what I wanted to wear. I'm representing myself. They're just doing the same thing. And it's so nice to be able to take off the judgmentalism that sometimes, like, whether it's cultural, whether it's religion, whether it's down East Maine, it's so nice to say, I'm going to step aside, I'm going to put that off, and I'm just going to look at everybody like they're people, because they are. Everyone's human. Everyone makes their own choices in life. And that is that.
You are tuned in to WERU Community Radio Station, and you are listening to We Are Queer. I'm your host, Olivia Prook, and you are listening to a conversation I'm having with Ben Chandler, who is a drag performer in Maine. Currently, we are discussing checking your spirit and allowing others to be fully themselves without judgment.
You know, it's easy to fall into judgmentalism. No one is able to not be a little judgmental and just, yeah, live and let live.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. I don't think I could have said it better myself, kind of that expression. And yeah, I think like for any new recently out people or people who are still coming to terms to their own sexuality or their own expression, I think, yeah, those like early years and then a lifetime of learning and unlearning and discovery and exploring. And I think that's where a lot of people get so, I don't know, I feel like there's this like, well, you said you were one thing and now you're not. And I think like that's the whole point of like discovering who you are. It's like it's a process.
Well,
you know,
like everything in life, everything grows, right? So you have a baby, you have a toddler, you have a teenager, and then you have an adult, right? With everything, everything grows. That doesn't matter whether you are 22 years old, you're 80 years old. Once you come to terms with your new identity and how you fully identify, you will go through those stages, right? So you'll have your giddy phase, you'll have your realistic phase, you'll have all these phases trying to figure out who you are, and you'll settle once you are fully matured in the experience.
Oh, so well said. I'd love to pivot a little bit and just talk about drag.
Oh my God, drag.
I know. I heard that you may be a drag performer.
So it was not long after I came out that I started doing drag, right? I've been doing drag a little over a year. I started in a competition, a small competition, and the winner would get on cast.
Wow. Wait. Where was this competition? At the stage?
It was at a bar in Brewer, and there was only a couple weeks of it, and there were two last performers left, and both of us got on cast, stepping out on stage that first time. I have done theater. I have like played in front of a bunch of people, played piano, stepping out on stage that night never felt so free. Because people, drag shows, everybody's rooting for everybody. It doesn't matter if, you know, oh well, she wore that wig. No. It doesn't matter. They're still gonna cheer, they're still gonna clap. It's art, it's performative, and it's fun getting all the looks together, doing the makeup, doing your nails. Everything is just, it's so nice to do things that you're passionate about. And I'm an attention person, right? I love the attention being on me. And when you're on stage and you're walking around in heels and you got a big wig on, all the eyes are on you. So How can you go wrong?
I wonder any of our new, you know, never been to a drag show, sort of like curious kind of drag virgins, like what is a drag show? What does it look like?
So a drag show can look like anything, right? There are drag kings, there are drag queens, there are drag performers, and of all types. What normally happens is a drag performer will pick a song. Maybe they will sing it live. Maybe they will lip sync it. Usually there's a lot of comedy involved. Hilarity will ensue. Drag queens are very big on tipping. So if you got your $1 bills, you bring it, you wave it in the air, and the queen will come over to you and take it and give you a little show. It's very, what specifically? Is like, there anything that you would like? Have you been to a drag show?
You know what? It's really embarrassing. I don't think I actually have been to a drag show.
You haven't been to a drag show?
I know. Isn't that horrible? I know. I mean, like, I've seen, like, bits of RuPaul's Drag Race and like stuff, but it's not the same.
The first season I watched was actually season 16, the most recent season.
Okay, yeah.
I loved it. I would watch more if I had more access to it. I don't have the streaming service that it's on. It's drag shows are so much fun because you find authentic people. People are not going to come there saying this and that about whoever. They're just there to have a good time. And it shows when you take off the pressures of the world and the pressures of, oh, this person and that person and how do they feel about me? When you take that off and you just do a show, it's like everything is right with the world for just about 2 hours. And then you reemerge into the world and you realize that, you know, things are still happening. But it's a nice reset, at least for me as a performer. It's a nice reset to say, I'm doing this because I like doing it. I'm not doing it for anyone else but me. I mean, I love the attention. I love the fans. It's just something that I'm passionate about. And doing what you love will make you love life.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Do you have fans?
I mean, on Instagram, I have like 206 followers.
Hey, that's pretty good. There you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm definitely growing in that aspect. I'm still fairly new. I'm a little over a year in. Bangor Pride was amazing, being able to perform on that stage in front of approximately 7,000 to 8,000 people.
That's incredible.
It's so fun to just be that. Be who you want to be. Express yourself. Yeah. I mean, I do have fans.
You're like, I am popular.
I mean, I don't have as many fans as some people. And I don't need a bunch of fans. I just need people to see me for me. Yeah. And who I want them to see.
And I was wondering if you would be willing to introduce us to your drag persona. Or maybe just like where it's come from. Like, I'm just so fascinated by people's discovery of their drag persona.
Okay. So my name in drag is Lucy. I usually go by Miss Lucy. There's a big story behind it, right? When I was in the church, there was this one girl named Lucy. And Lucy was, to me, a really good friend, right? Lucy played the violin. So I was like, I'm going to play the violin. I bought a violin and I didn't start playing it until like years later. What I realized after unpacking things and looking through life and taking stock, right? It wasn't that I liked Lucy. I wanted to be Lucy. So now I can literally be Lucy. And Lucy's persona can be sometimes ever-changing. It kind of depends on the situation at hand. She likes to think that she's a businesswoman, but she's not. She's kind of a trash panda that's trying to do a beauty pageant. She's a little messy. Mm. She's rough around the edges, but she has a big heart.
Oh, we love that. How amazing. That's a cool, I feel like that's a really deep story of like how you became Lucy.
Yeah. Even when I picked the name, I was like, oh, I just like the name. And now it's so interesting the journeys you go through, right? Because you can think one thing your whole life and you can act one way your whole life. And once you actually take a second, I wonder how many people actually just take the 1 second to think about who you are now, where you came from, what happened to you to make your decisions into who you are, and why.
Pretty powerful stuff right there. Now, I feel like kind of winding down, I just gonna kind of leave it. If there's any closing thoughts or notes that you wanted to share or express, feel free to go for it. If not, we can wind down. I feel like I've gotten so much great material.
I guess in closing, to sum up the whole conversation, right? I am so grateful for what's happened to me in my life. It's not all great. It's not all good. But what happened made me who I am. There are definitely times that I wished I had come out sooner and I could have lived as a gay teen and really experienced what I wanted to experience. But everything in timing, everything happens for a reason. And you can say, well, I wish that I was out younger and, you know, I could have done all these things and I could have been so ahead of where I am now. But it also means maybe I wouldn't have met some of the people that I've met. I wouldn't have gained some of the experience I've gained because we are so focused sometimes on what we want to happen exactly when we want it to happen. But it's a journey, and we have to remember that. Journeys are uphill sometimes. Sometimes they're downhill. Sometimes they're through water. And when you actually look back at it and you say, wow, look at where I came from. Look at who I am. And it's amazing to just exist the way you want to exist and be who you want to be.
Thank you to today's guest, Ben Chandler, who candidly showed us how every journey is different, yet equally important. Thank you also to Juniper Ginger, a local artist in Maine who created our theme music. And that is all for We Are Queer. My name is Olivia Peruk, and we'll be back next month. We Are Queer happens every second Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. and can later be streamed on the website or WERU app. If you have feedback for the show or want to get in touch, email info@weru.org with WERQ in the subject line. Thank you for being with us, and remember to stay curious and to stay kind. Stay tuned for more public affairs broadcasting.